Thank you. Good day, friends. We're studying together the ninth chapter of the Gospel through Mark. We've been dealing with the transfiguration of Christ and of how the Lord came down into this vale of tears from the glory right down into the valley. When he came down, he found the religious leaders full of satire, criticism against his disciples. What about the disciples? They were full of unbelief. They could not cast the demons out of a boy. And we've got a desperate father who has a son demon-possessed. And you remember when the Lord came down, he said to them in verse 19, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." And I'm so glad he came down to this sphere, to this world, into the human race, even though we were a faithless generation. He came down for the purpose of delivering this generation from this people, the human race, from sin, from death, and from hell. Just think of the experience of our Lord leaving the glory and coming down here, or in this connection, leaving the Mount of Transfiguration where he was with Moses and Elias and with the Father, and how they discussed his program of suffering, of death, and of resurrection. To leave that place of glory where Peter could say, "Lord, it's so wonderful to be here. Let's stay here. Let's stay here." Yes, we all want to stay there. No, the people that need to be met and helped and saved and regenerated, transformed, are down in the valley. They came down, as I said a mile ago, he came down and found a demon-possessed boy and faithless disciples and critical religious leaders and a desperate father. By the way, and I'm so glad he came. I'm so glad he came. I tell you, my friend, you who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if he had not come, your case would be an entirely hopeless case, and so would mine. If he had not come into the vale of tears, if he hadn't taken his place, as Philippians chapter 2 said, he laid aside his glory and came down here and became a man, a slave, was found in fashion as a man and humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. Why? Just because he loved you and because he loved me. How else can he save man? Don't you think if there'd been any other way, God would have made that way apart from his son? No, the righteous, holy character of God is involved. And what in the world can man do to measure up to the holy, righteous character of God? The absolute impossibility, unless God provides a way. This is why he came. This is why he came. So he came down and found this situation, unbelieving disciples. And you come down to verse 21, he asked the father the question, "How long ago is it since this came upon him?" And he said, "Ever since he was a child." And I close up this last lesson with the fact, if the devil, the adversary, can affect children, it's high time we Christians, at least we Christians, took care that our children heard the word of God. God can come into a child's life just as much as he can come into your life. He may not understand it all, that's true, but he can know something in his little heart of the love and the grace and the compassion and tenderness of Christ himself. Now you come down to verse 22. Oftentimes, I'm reading what the father said, "Oftentimes it hath cast him," that is, a demon, "hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." You see, the scribes can't help him. The disciples can't help him. Who can help him? Why do you think the Lord Jesus came into the valley? He knew. He knew what he was going to face. And he left the glory, came down here. Notice what the man said to Jesus, "If thou canst help," if you can do anything at all, "oh, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said, "If thou canst believe." All things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Notice, the man said to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, please help us. Jesus said, if thou canst believe. The man said to Jesus, if you can do anything to help us, do it. And Jesus said, if you can, believe. The man said, I believe, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And I want to tell you, my friend, I believe that the Lord Jesus saw the reality of this man's heart and encouraged him. Nobody ever came to Jesus with a need and was turned away. The man turned to Jesus for help. I turned to your disciples, they couldn't do anything. These scribes are criticizing the whole situation. Who can help us? Only you. Only you. Yes. Friend, how often you have turned to everybody else except the Savior. You have a need, like this father had a need. He had tried everything, more than likely. And you've tried everything. It may be some of you have tried different religions of the earth, of the world. It may be you've gone to church all your life, but somehow or another your life is empty. You've got a need, and that need hasn't been met. I want to tell you, Jesus can meet that need. And he just said to the Father, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Ah, did he have unbelief? Possible. But there was a heart that was willing to believe. I've had people say to me, Mr. Mitchell, I tried so hard to believe. I've tried to believe. And I have said to them, do you mean business? Yes, well, God means business. And if you mean business, you really want to believe, you will. It's a strange thing about this question of believing, isn't it? You introduced somebody else to your friend. You say, this is my friend. His name is so-and-so. You answer and you say, how do you do, Mr. So-and-so? You don't say, I'm going to try and believe that your name is Mr. So-and-so. You're trusting that your friend has introduced you to the man, and that's his name. And for you to say, I'm going to try and believe that, you'd be offended. You see, the great thing is the object of your faith. The object of your faith. Now, this man didn't know Jesus. And when you know Jesus, when you know what he is, what he's done, oh, friend, it's easy to believe. Easy to believe. The question is, how much confidence do you have in him? He says, I came into this valley, what for? To meet your need. This man said, if you can meet my need, please meet my need. I'm in a terrible situation. My boy is demon-possessed. Sir, I've tried everything. Nothing's happened. Can you meet my need? Can you meet my need? And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I repeat it. The Lord saw the reality of a desire. I think of that verse in John 6. If any man wills to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Pardon me, that's chapter 7 of John. If any man wills to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Whether it's of God or whether I speak of myself. I think of that verse in James where God says, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. And immediately we find where the Lord immediately cast the demons out of the boy. Jesus took him up by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Give the boy back to his dad. So instead of the dad being a desperate dad now, he's a happy dad. He's a joyful dad. The boy, no longer under the powers of hell, now he's delivered by the precious one who left the glory on our behalf. See, friend, you may be controlled and dominated by sin. Jesus can deliver you from your sin. He can forgive every transgression. He can transform you into a new man, to a new woman. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, if any man be in Christ, in this risen Christ, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous thing. That when you put your trust in the Savior, not in your works, not in some religious exercise, not in something you've sacrificed for the Lord, not because you joined some church, no. These things may have their place. But life can only come to a relationship with the Savior. And He's willing to meet any honest heart. I'm not afraid to take any man who's an honest heart, point to him, the Savior. I don't care what the man was before or since. But if he accepts the Savior, I can bring to him a Savior who can absolutely transform your life and bring you peace of heart, joy of soul. If you can only believe, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. You see, my faith is so frail. Yes, like the woman, you remember in a preceding chapter, 12 years, a sick woman for 12 years, 12 years ostracized. But she said, if I could only touch the garment, not even touch him, just touch the garment. And the Lord recognized that frail, weak faith. And the woman was healed. The question is, will you turn to him? This man had no place to turn but to Jesus. Nor do you, nor do I. We'll never be delivered from sin, from the bondage of hell and of death, except through Jesus Christ. Now we come down to verse 18. Go down to verse 28. When he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we cast him out? Over in verse 18, the father had brought the boy to the disciples. He said, I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not. Now they raise the question, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus' answer was, this kind of faith, can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, let me just stop here for a moment. Why couldn't they cast him out? Hadn't they done that before? Yes, in chapter 16, verse 13, when the Lord sent the disciples out two by two, he sent the 12 out. He gave them his authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and so on. And they came back rejoicing. And if I may quote from Matthew, they said, the very demons were subject to us. They'd cast out demons when they went out two by two. Now there's nine of them, and all nine together could not cast the demons out. Now why? They did it before. That's the trouble. The chances are they were depending upon past experiences to do the job and didn't do it. You see, friend, we're dealing with a very, very important thing. Past experiences may encourage you for the present, but they do not meet your present experiences. Do not meet your present need. Here you have nine men trying to cast the demons out of a boy, and their past experience had said, we can do it. But they didn't. It calls for a continual, precious, daily walk with Him. This question of this kind of faith cometh not but by prayer and fasting, that means of a walk with God, to be in close cooperation with God. How often people talk about past experiences? Well, supposing you have had past experiences, that doesn't mean you can do it today. What you had yesterday will not suffice for today. And how does faith grow? Faith grows, or if I may quote Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the more we know the Savior, the more we have fellowship with the Savior, the more we walk with Him daily, then we're found to be usable by the Spirit of God in the thing He wants done. Not what I want, but what He wants. He's got this thing very, very clear. You and I are in the valley, in the vale of tears. We are in the place where sin has taken hold of lives, where Satan is dominant in so many things. And sometimes we Christians feel so helpless. You know why? We look at ourselves, or we trust somebody else, or we trust some organization, or we trust some feeling. That those things pass away. This kind of faith. This faith that removes mountains, as the Lord said, you remember, if I may go back to Matthew chapter 17, in the same connection, if you have as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, what mountain? This mount of transfiguration, be thou removed and cast into the ocean. It shall obey you. Boy, you say, my, that's offering us a touch of the power of Almighty God, yes? You remember the disciples, even the apostles, never did a thing like that. It's true. After our Lord went back to glory, you have Peter healing a lame man. You have a woman raised from the dead. You have Paul healing a lame man. So on. But you never saw them say to a mountain, be removed. You never heard of them stilling the storms, saying to the wind, peace, be still. That's the act of a creator. And yet Jesus said, if you have as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be removed. Oh, I know some people say, well, that means a mountain of doubt. He didn't say that. He said this mountain, upon which he had just been transfigured, the mountain he had just left to come down in the valley, calls for a continual daily walk with God. And may I say, a friend again, God never gave you faith to transform the world. He didn't give you faith to remove mountains in that sense. He gave you faith to walk with him. And as you walk with him, then he moves through you to the performing of that which will glorify him. Why couldn't we cast them out? No, friend, I repeat it, you can't depend upon past experiences. You must live day by day walking in fellowship with him. Which brings us to the next portion. And I'm going to make the next portion of chapter 9 from verse 33 right down to verse 50, right down to the end of the chapter. I'm doing this because the whole thing, the context is here. If you don't get the context, you're going to miss a great deal. Let me read. After he had healed the boy, cast out the demons, rebuked his disciples, and then exhorted them. And by the way, he didn't do it in a censorious spirit. He did it in love. I read in verse 30, they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. Now here we come to the second time that he has taught his disciples his program, why he left the glory. Before he went on the Mount Transfiguration, he taught the disciples he must suffer, be killed, be buried, be raised again the third day. When he came down from the mountain, he just said to Peter, James, and John, don't say anything about this until the Son of Man be raised from the dead. Now, after he has cast the demons out of this boy, he turned to the disciples and he taught them again and said, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men that they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. And they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. I needn't spend time here. Again, I bring up the fact there can be no kingdom of God on earth without the cross. The suffering must come first. And I personally believe that the Savior, when he began to teach his disciples about his suffering death, there's a change in his ministry. We've just seen here a boy has had the demons cast out. There are no other miracles in Mark. until he come to our Savior on his way to Jerusalem, and he comes by Jericho, and he opens the eyes of a man born blind. You see, friends, there can be no glory without suffering. Why did Jesus come into the human race? Why did he come down here at all? Just because he loved you and he loved me. Do you remember in Romans chapter 8, 5, verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, that men would say, he loved you enough. Oh, he loved men. He loved sinners so much that he came down to this vale of tears to die. To die. To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. To make it possible that sinners, that this rebellious race, might be fitted to come in the presence of God and have fellowship with God, become children of God, have the life of an eternal God, intimate fellowship with him. My, what a prospect. What a hope. Aren't you glad he came? Aren't you glad he came? I am. I am. And thank God there came a time in my life when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I passed from death to life, and I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And he humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. Why? Just because he loved you, and because he loved me.